So I'd like to thank everyone for coming down to the ashram to celebrate Ram Navami, so we can read a little bit from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 10 and 11, Ramchandra's Leela. Ramachandra, of course, appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Katvanga as a son of Dasharatha. And when he descended into this world, he came with his Chaturvyuha expansions, Ramchandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. So once Ramachandra went with Vishwamitra Muni and killed Rakshasas like Maricha. And then at the Swayamvar of Sita, Ramachandra broke the very strong and stout bow known as Haradanu, Lord Shiva's bow. And thus he won the hand of Sita Devi. And he also defeated Parashuram. And on the order of his father Dasharath, he entered the forest along with Lakshman and Sita. And while there in the forest, Ravana's sister, Shapurnaka, proposed to Ram, but then he cut off her nose. And he killed Ram's associates, Kara and Dushana. Then Ravana kidnapped Sita Devi. When Maricha assumed the form of a golden deer, Ramchandra went to bring the deer back to please Sita Devi. But while he was out in the forest tracking the deer, Ravana disguised himself as a sannyasi and took away the goddess of fortune. He kidnapped Sita. Then Lakshman and Ram searched throughout the forest for Sita Devi. And in that time they met Jatayu, a great devotee of the Lord, a vulture, who had actually fought with Ravana. Then Ramchandra killed the demon Kabunda and the commander Vali, and established a friendly relationship with Sugriv. Then he organized the military strength of all the monkeys, and together with them they went to the shore of the sea. Ramchandra is waiting for Samudra, the personification of the sea, to come before him and surrender. But he didn't come. Ram became angry and threatened to destroy the ocean. And then Samudra came to Ram very quickly and surrendered to him, wanting to help him in every way. Then Ram built the bridge with the help of advice. He built the bridge across the ocean. He took some advice from Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, to attack the capital of Ravana and Lanka. And there was a huge fight, Hanuman and all the monkeys, and the forces of Ramachandra and Lakshman, they killed all the Rakshasa soldiers. Then Ramachandra personally killed Ravana. The wife of Ravana, Mandodari, was lamenting grievously for Ravana. And then under the order of Ramchandra, Vibhishana performed the funeral ceremonies for all the family dead. And then Ramchandra appointed Vibhishana in charge of Lanka. And he finally delivered Sita Devi from Ashokvan and took her in a flower airplane back to Ayodhya, where he arrived on Deepavali. There his brother, younger brother Bharat, received him. And Bharat was carrying the wooden shoes of Hanuman on his head. Avishna and Sugriva held a whisk and a fan. Hanuman carried an umbrella. Shatrughna carried the Lord's bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot with sacred water from holy places. Angada carried a sword and Jambavan carried a shield. Ramachandra was then enthroned as a king by the great sage Vasishta. And then the Lord began to rule Ayodhya. Of course, we heard that Ravana kidnapped Sita. But in Skanda Purana, it explains that it's not possible. It's impossible for Ravana to touch the goddess of fortune. So what he took, or whom he took, was the illusory representation of Mother Sita, known as Maya Sita. And later, to prove the chastity and purity of the original Sita, Sita was tested in fire, and this Maya Sita burned up, and the real Sita emerged from the fire. Prabhupada quotes one Hindi phrase in the purport, chapter 10, 14. Sukase sab hari bhaje, sukase bhaje koi. Sukase agar hari bhaje, dukkha katan se hai. When one is dukkha or distressed, then he worships Hari, goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. Sukase sab hari bhaje, sukase bhaje koi. But when he's happy and everything's going well, then there's no bhajan. Koi bhajan nahi. But it's, phrase says that when one is happy, if he worships Hari, then he won't experience distress. In chapter 11, Lord Ram rules the world. So Ram resided in Ayodhya with his younger brothers and performed various sacrifices, which were actually worshipping himself. Because it's Naralila, he showed the example of an ideal king worshipping the Supreme by various yajnas. As an ideal Vaishnav king, Ram would donate land to the different priests in the yajna. Ramchandra had great faith in the Brahmanas, and he showed great affection for his servants. One time Lord Ram disguised himself like an ordinary citizen and wandered within the capital so he could understand what people thought of him. By chance, one night, he heard a dhobi talking to his wife, who had gone to another man's house. So he rebuked his wife and he said, "What do you think I am? I'm not a henpecked husband like Ram, whose wife went away for a year to someone else's house and still he accepted her. I will not accept you. You went not here last night. You get out from here." So when this Dobiwala spoke suspiciously of the character of Sita Devi, Ramachandra returned home, and fearing such rumors of the people, he decided to give up Sita Devi's company. And although she was pregnant, Ram banished her to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And later she gave birth to two illustrious sons named Lav and Kush. And then the brothers and nephews of Ram, they went out to conquer the directions to bring wealth back home. At that time, Shatrughna, Ram's brother, he was in Vrindavan, and he killed a big demon there, Lavanasura, in Madhavan. And Sita Devi, feeling intense separation from Ram, she left her sons, Lav and Kush, in the care of Valmiki Muni, and then she entered the earth. Ramchandra, hearing this, was very upset and aggrieved. He performed sacrifices for 13,000 years. So then, Shukadeva Goswami explains some of the benedictions about hearing Ram Lila. is in chapter 11, 9th canto, verse 23. Purusho ramacharitam shavane rupadaryan anishamsya prorajan karmabandher mimuchyate. Shukadev said, O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ram's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. The Prabhupada addresses this anartha, obstacle to love, known as envy. Envy is the antithesis of love. Love means to encourage, to serve, to honor, to put forward. And envy means to destroy, to repress, to put down. In the material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Sometimes even a devotee, if he's advanced, other devotees become envious. Obviously, envious devotees are not really free from birth and death. One cannot enter the eternal pastimes of the Lord unless he's free from envy. How does one become envious? What is the cause of envy? One becomes envious because he's influenced by designations of the body, upadis, designations, fat, thin, ugly, beautiful, short, tall, rich, poor, knowledgeable, foolish, expert, amateur. But if someone is liberated, he's beyond the body and has nothing to do with it. And then he exists on the pure, transcendental, non-envious platform. A true devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy. How does a true devotee come to this state of perception? Because he knows that the Lord, that Sri Krishna, is his supreme protector. Devotee thinks about enemies. What harm can the so-called enemy do? A devotee is confident about his protection. And Lord says the same in Gita. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyam. According to the proportion of one's surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. A devotee must be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnava aparad. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting is certainly freed from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead.